All right, welcome back tonight for another night of our family Bible school, and we're going to take care of some point gathering first. Did I take your pad of paper from you? You've got some. Okay, all right, so here we go. First of all, I need a count for how many people are you have here for your team. 36 times 10,000, and then 37 times 10,000 for the orange team. I'm guessing it's the same number of people that are wearing the colors, right?
Yeah.
If they got their armbands. So double that number for the colors. And then I need to know Bibles. Count Bibles. Go. First captain that gives me a number is 50,000 points. 50,000 points for the first number of Bibles that you turn in.
28.
Get them a calculator. They're counting. David brought 28 Bibles because he's spiritual. Yeah, there we go. And 50,000 points to the yellow team. 57. We got 840,000 points for the yellow team. And how many? 570,000 points for the orange team. Now, if you're a visitor tonight, first time here, please stand up. Any others for the orange team? You got to stand to be counted. Come on, Abby. 100,000 points for the orange team. And 20,000 points for the yellow team for visitors. And now I need you to count the capes. Go.
Everybody got them, right?
Yeah.
We gave them to everybody.
Everybody's got them.
Is Emma wearing a cape? She's not wearing it. Oh, she is. Okay. 36 times 50,000. 36 times 50,000 and how many? 20 capes times 50,000 for the orange team. All right. Now, we're going to sing a song, okay? And as Miss Pat is coming up here, we're going to sing our two songs. But what I want you to do is there's someone that really, really, really wants to be here tonight. And they can't because they just had brain surgery. I mean, I don't know what his problem is. Where is his commitment to his local church, right? But he has been watching live stream, so if you could all turn around, look at the camera, say, hi, Armand.
Hi.
All right, thank you. Let's go ahead and sing our trust song tonight. Let's all stand. Right? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Page number 679 for Miss Pat. Don't you appreciate her playing the piano for us? All right, let's all sing this together. One verse. Here we go.
Thank you.
you. You may be seated, and I really hope that Armand is watching tonight, okay? Because we are going to ask Armand there in his ICU room. Armand, if you could judge for us, if you could judge which side has the most color, okay? Is it the yellow side or the orange side that has the most color? And let me see. I'm going to ask my wife, could you go to my office and get my phone, please? Armand, I'm going to ask you if you could send me a message on my phone, either through Messenger or something like that. Yellow team, orange team, don't go sending me a message pretending to be Armand, okay? It ain't going to work. My wife's going to... What's that? Well, hold on a second. Okay. Armand, call the church. Grab your phone and call the church. Carlton's right upstairs by the phone. He can answer it and let us know who's going to win the points for even more color tonight. So it's whatever team has the most color in the room, according to Armand. I like this. It takes the pressure off of me, right? But don't you love the ambiance on this side, right? Yeah. 5,000 points to the orange team for their spirit. That wasn't enough for 100 points even. Okay, so now we're going to start some games. I need one adult from each team. 50,000 points to the first adult that comes up here. One adult from each team. Yellow team, 50,000 points. And I need the captains to help me on this game. Captains, you're going to take that tape dispenser. And I have here 6 plates. And the plates are numbered, so you're going to start with number 1 and then move down the line. You can. I have 2 M&Ms on each plate. They're all different flavors. None of them are chocolate. I didn't know there were that many M&M flavors, all right? So you're just going to take one. There's a second one there in case you want to just check it to make sure. But as soon as you're confident of what the taste of that first one is, you grab the sign that you think is the taste, give it to your captain, and they're going to tape it right here on the front. Captains, please go in order. They have to be in order, okay? And if there's a tie, the first one that gets completed, that completes them all, will break that tie, okay? In fact, we'll just go until someone's done. All right, so are you ready? You haven't recently had COVID where you lost your sense of taste, have you? Okay, all right. That could be bad, folks. All right, on your mark, get set, go!
Go, Tommy, go!
5,000 points to the yellow team for cheering their team. 5,000. Oh, 20,000 points to the orange team. No. Grab the sign. Grab the sign. You got to take the sign. Take the sign right down there. There we go. And the yellow team has 2. So does the orange team. And you got nothing to rinse it down. I know. It's tough, isn't it? Another 5,000 to the orange team for cheering. 3 for the yellow team. 4 for the yellow team. 4 for the orange team. It's going to be close. I'm just going to step down here. Yep. 5 and 5. 5 and 5. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? Do you need to change any? He's going to change it around and stop right there. Okay, yellow team was technically done first. So, yellow team, you can look at your team's answers. We're going to start here with this one and go that way. Orange team, we're starting with this one and we're going to work that way. The first one on both teams is correct. It was peanut butter. Which, in my opinion, is a waste of a good M&M right there when they throw peanut butter in it. Number 2 is caramel. Number 3, coffee nut. Number 4, cookies and cream. Number 5 was mint, and number 6 was English toffee. All right, the winner with 100,000 points, the Orange Team. Team captains, if you could.
What's that?
Wait a minute.
We got 3.
This one was right too.
Yeah. Patty, captains, peanut butter, coffee nut, and mint.
Peanut butter, caramel, coffee
yeah,
nut.
Wasn't right. Coffee nut, and then we got mint.
Oh, no, they have to be in order. They have to be in the right order. So he actually had the first two right, and you guys got the first one right.
Oh, okay.
Yes. That is correct. That is correct. All right. Thank you. We got that clarified. Now, team captains, if you could get the tables out of the way, and I need you to pull up these 6-foot tables here. Pull up these 6-foot tape, the bigger ones. Slide them right out to the where the other ones were, please. Slide them out.
Armin has judged.
All right. Don't you love technology? Thank you, Armin. Okay. So, with everyone facing the screen, okay, no one turning around, including the judges or the captains, don't turn around the other screen. There we go. All right. I'm going to ask Carlton to put up a hand, point to the yellow or the orange team. No one turning around. No one turning around. I'm watching you. Come on, some of you are worse than kids. Do not turn around. It's like wet paint. Don't touch, right? Okay. Armand. Carlton, point. Don't point at me. Which team? Orange team! Yes, thank you. 100,000 points to the orange team. All right, captains, I need you to get 7 cups. You probably not. Yep. 7 cups, and I need you to line them up right here on the inside edge. 7 cups on the inside edge of the table. Yep. Space them out evenly all the way across. 7 cups. Yep. Just space them out on this edge of the table. Sorry. Really? That's right. That's right. Okay, now for this game, you've got Nerf guns, we've got plenty of darts, and I'm going to give 20,000 points to the first team player that's up here, and I am looking for one, and your captain has to pick you, all right? One. How many points being first up here? 20? I'm going to say 50. 50,000 points to the first child that's up here. 50,000 points to the orange team. Orange team, 50,000 points. Now, this game's going to be worth 100,000 points, and I think you've already got the idea. Go ahead and load your guns. Load your guns with those Nerf darts. First one that has it loaded is another 10,000. 10,000 points to the orange team. All right, 100,000 points to the first team that gets all of these cups off the end of the table. All right, now let me just say too. All right, we're not doing this. Okay, you got to keep your hand back behind the bucket. Okay, we can just leave the bucket right there. We're going to leave the bucket right here. Your gun cannot pass this bucket. On your mark. Are we ready? Get set. Your gun cocked. Ready to go? Go! Run and run! Reload! Reload as fast as you can! They both got one down. Yeah, 2 down. 3. 2 weeks for it. To this orange team. They are full of spirit tonight. Yes. One more. One more. It is so close. 2-1. 2-1. Oh, it's so close. Christ to the orange team. If the captains can reset that game for me, if the captains can reset that game, now I need, as soon as they get it reset, don't worry about the darts right now. We got plenty in the bucket. Let's just get that reset because I need to get two more contestants up here for this game. Let's go with one teenager from each team. Get me one. 30,000 points. Orange team, 30,000 points. Okay, you know what we're doing, right? Okay, the gun cannot pass the bucket. We'll just stick that back there. All right, you're good. On the count of three, you may begin. Go ahead and load your guns. Yep, go ahead and load them up. Get them ready to go. Ready to go. Go, 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 go. On your mark. Get set and go. Yeah. Woo! The yellow team is ahead. Oh, it's tied now. 5-5. 4-5. Looks like it's going to be the orange team. 3-3. 20,000 points to the yellow team. Good cheering. Yeah, it's 2-2. It's 1-2. 1-1. It's right down to the wire. The orange team, 100,000 points for the orange team. Now, if we could slide those tables off to the side for a moment, please. And if you are like 5 and under, could you raise your hand? Do we have any 5 and under on this team?
He's in the bathroom.
He's in the bathroom. Well, never mind. Okay. All right. Well, there's only one on your team. We'd only have one contestant.
Oh, we win.
Instant winner.
Yeah!
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Oh, but there wasn't any points for that game. All right, so now I need the skinny tables brought back out, please. Skinny tables brought back out. Okay, I need, for this game, I need one adult for each team. One adult for each team.
Come on,
Katie! 30,000 points to the orange team. Take a straw, please. Take a straw. I'll have you take a straw. Thank you. You like blue? Go blue. All right. So now this game here, we're going to need a timer for 60 seconds. As many as you can do in 60 seconds. Whoa! This is a super bonus game here. All right, so the winner of this game will get to take one of our candy bouquets. And this game is also, you know, let's just make it worth 200,000 points, all right? 200,000 points. And you're going to go down on the M&M and suck up an M&M. I can't talk fast. Okay. And transfer it over to this plate. Whoever gets the most in by using the straw, the
can't do it.
Okay, this is the game that I kind of brought out here and named in honor of Pastor Taylor. Suck it up, Buttercup. Okay. Yes, this is the Suck It Up Buttercup game. All right, so you cannot touch the M&Ms with any part of your body, only the straw. Transfer them over to the plate. Are you clear on that? You have 60 seconds to do as many as you can, and I will be yelling out points for the team that's cheering the loudest. On your mark, get set, and go! To the yellow team. Oh, they're standing up! Look at that! Seconds. 10,000 points to the yellow team. They're out in the aisles, folks. And time's up. Wait, one more. There we go. That's it. Captains, I think we don't need to count. 200,000 points to the orange team. All right, put all the M&Ms on one plate. Put all the M&Ms on one plate. And now I am looking for... Oh, that's right. All of that, yes. All of that will help your kids sleep right away tonight. It's like melatonin. Right. Okay. So now we're going to do the same game, and I need two or one child from each team that is not a teenager. Go! 40,000 points to the orange team! Okay, do you guys want another straw, or you just want to recycle? Another straw. All right. I'll give you 100,000 points if you use the same straw. Yeah, just kidding. Oh, yeah, it was your dad. What do you care, right? All right. 60-second timer is back up there. And if you're like your dad, you're going to need some more M&Ms on there. And we'll just go ahead and put some more on your plate, too. All right, 60 seconds. On your mark. Get set. Go! Yeah! Orange team's got it down. 20,000 points to the orange team. Oh, look at this! They are right down. Yeah, orange team's got it. Orange team's got it. Look at this. Good job. Good job. They're going. 25 seconds. 10,000 points to the orange team. It looks really close. It's looking... Time's up! Time's up right there. All right, captains, can you count those for me? It looks pretty close. Maybe not, but it kind of looks close. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Help me out here. Do, 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 do. 35! 200,000 points to the orange team! Is the air on?
Can you check the air, please?
Okay, I wanna have time to get our offering in, okay? And then if there's time, we'll do one more game. But I need a teenager from each team to do the offering. Who's it gonna be? TJ Miles. TJ Miles, go ahead and grab your bucket. Go ahead and grab your bucket. Okay, now, I noticed last night, yellow team, you have someone clear in the back of the room. And you didn't see him last night, but he was waving money back there. He was back there waving money and you missed it. So, I'm sure tonight he's got double the amount. Okay. Oh, tonight he had it brought all the way up here. Okay. So, here's what we're gonna do. You guys can strategize, but I'm going to just go talk, so you got to be listening. When I say go, you're going to go all the way down the side here, and you need to come back up the other side, whichever side you want to do first, it doesn't matter. But you need to go all the way back and touch the back wall before you come back up here, okay? You've got to get all the way down, touch the back wall, come up on the other side. On your mark, get set, go! We're going to go 100,000 points to the team who gets back up here first. Yep, yep, here they come. It's close, it's close, it's close, it's close, it's close, it's close. OC, 100,000 points if the team captains can take that over there, just off to the side, and let us know who won the offering. Oh my. Okay. All right. So while we're waiting for them to count, you know me. I'm just kind of low key and I don't like to embarrass people. Hold on. I really don't like to embarrass people. Kim's looking really nervous right now. Kimberly, is that? No, don't worry. You're fine. But Sarah, could you stand for us, please? Yeah, she's the one that's dressed in yellow tonight, okay?
Yeah.
Today, should we have her come up here in front of everybody? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not. She's going to stay right there by the safety of her husband. Today is her birthday! So we're going to sing happy birthday to her right now. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Be seated, and now I'm going to give the family doesn't count. Family doesn't count. I'm going to give 500,000 points to whoever can guess her age. No, we're not doing that. Never mind. Because I know what it is. I know what it is. It is a solid 29. Maybe not. Okay, what do we got here? 103 for the orange team. 334 for the yellow team. They killed it tonight. That's 200,000 points for the yellow team. Now, tomorrow night, I'm just going to warn you, tomorrow night we are taking two offerings, okay? And if you've seen me do that before, you know how I like to play around with that. We're going to take two offerings tomorrow night before we decide which team wins. So bring your checkbook. Is Monty here? Monty's here. I remember one year he whipped out a $100 bill on the second one. It tomorrow's what? Oh, yes. All right, folks. Thank you so much for playing the games tonight. Now, I'm going to ask Brother Tom if he'll come and share the word with us again tonight. And then when we're done, we'll be dismissed to go back into the fellowship hall. I think we have pie and ice cream and subs to eat tonight. So there you go, Brother Tom.
Thank you, Pastor. All right. Well, good to see you. Good competition. And did like the lighting here. That really did it for the orange side, I think. And so it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen tomorrow. Does it have to be taken down tomorrow night?
No.
Oh, okay. So we can bring in the paint and the rollers and do all that stuff too. So.
Yeah.
No. I'm just teasing. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 5 is where we're going to be looking. And I was told when I was in Bible college, I was told as a preacher boy, never take your own offering. But it's okay if your son does. He did a good job, so. But we appreciate your giving to our family. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is an interesting book of the Bible. It's a letter that's written to the Ephesian church, and really it's a letter of encouragement. And it was written, the human author was the Apostle Paul, who you would be familiar with. And it's a letter of encouragement, and if you're going to study the book of Ephesians, there are 6 chapters, but you can break it down really into 4 subheadings that helps us to understand it. And chapter number 1 is really about our present wealth. And it's interesting, the theme of the book of Ephesians is in Christ. What is it? in Christ. The preposition in is used at least 27 times in the book of Ephesians. And so when you become a believer, when you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you are placed in Christ. And there's all kinds of present wealth that we have in Christ. It's really pretty amazing to read through chapter number one. Chapter number two talks about our past wickedness. And he's writing to a group of believers, and he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That means totally separated from God by trespasses and sins. And one lie is enough. And then it talks about how salvation comes by grace, that you save through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation is not something you can earn by right or baptism or by good works. It's by faith in the finished work of Christ on Calvary. And so chapter one is our present wealth that we have in Christ. Chapter number two is a reminder of our past wickedness, where we came from. Chapter three, four, and five is really about our practical walk. At least four times you see the word walk in those chapters. And it's amazing to me how practical the Bible really is. It's a spiritual book, but it really touches every area of our life. And then chapter number six is a powerful war. And you know, we're at war. There's an unseen enemy, and the unseen enemy is doing a very good job. And the Bible says in Ephesians 6, "For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So there's a powerful war going on right now. But in Ephesians chapter number five, we're going to look at part of that aspect of that practical walk. And how does what we believe about what God says affect our home? And I believe this. I believe the sanctuary of your home could take a priority over the sanctuary of the church. And the reason why I say that is this, is because if you have weak families, you have weak churches. And if you have weak churches, you have weak societies. And you can study American history. You can study the history of Israel in this book. Anytime there's been a light or a downgraded view on the marriage and the home, whether it's in America or Rome or Israel, it's always the downfall of civilization. And so what we believe about God and about what God says should practically affect every area of our life. And when we get to Ephesians chapter number five, you see it in great detail. And it's interesting. We travel all the time. And my number one tool when we travel, I love maps. When I was in the Army, I was in field artillery, so you had to become a master at reading maps. If you weren't, you could get yourself in trouble or kill somebody accidentally. And so land orientation, land navigation, looking at land features and using your compass, all those things were very important to get to point A to point B. And I love maps today. When we travel, one of the first things I do usually is the morning before we get in the truck and pull out of a parking lot is I won't pull out my map per se, but I'll pull out Google Maps, you know, and I'll have that ready. And if I'm smart, sometimes I get in a hurry and I forget to do it, but if I'm smart, I'll plot out my route. And so we left Memphis on Saturday morning, and Friday night I had already looked at the route a little bit, and we were going to take a route that would take us up through southern Illinois and come up through there, hit Missouri just a little bit and come up, but I routed it out. It was about 6 hours on the GPS, according to Google Maps. If you're pulling a trailer, you always add an hour for every 3 hours. We've learned that because you don't do the speed limit. It just takes you longer. And so I plotted a couple of places to stop. We stopped in just north of a little town called Dyersburg, Tennessee, just before you cross the Mississippi River. And that was just a little bit north of where we left from. And then we had another planned stop in Vernon, Illinois, at a truck stop there. And then we were able to make it on through up here to Taylorville from there. And it really worked out. You say, "Man, did you get your truck and trailer all the way from Memphis to Taylorville with only two stops?" I wish, you know, that didn't happen. And so somebody's always got to go or do something and this, that, and the other. And so it took us a little while to get here, but we planned it out, and thankfully it was an uneventful trip, and we got here just as we planned to get here. But it's interesting, if you don't plan your route to a place that you've never been to before or that you haven't been to very often, you could potentially get very lost. And there's waypoints, there's landmarks, there's things that you ought to look forward to in order to end up where you want to end up. Well, there's some landmarks or waypoints in the Bible for us in Ephesians chapter number 5 specifically to help us to have a healthy, happy, wholesome home. Now, you can get there by accident, but it's the exception and not the rule. And so we're going to look at a couple of those waypoints this evening. The Bible says, I'll just pick it up in Ephesians chapter number 5 and then 4. Let me turn the page. The Bible says in verse number 18, it's talking about here, Paul is talking about the practical walk of the Christian and a spirit-filled life. And the Bible says in verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now that is a command to every Christian, not just the preacher, the missionary, the pastor, the evangelist, but that's to every Christian to be filled with God's Spirit. And so that means to be fully controlled by the Spirit of God. It's a command, and it's interesting, it's also in the continuous action. That means you're to always be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, I'll be honest with you, it doesn't always work that way, does it? And so that's why God gives us the Bible to help us to stay on track. And so after this, the Bible says this is really kind of an outline on how to be filled with the Spirit or the marks of the Spirit-filled life. It says speaking to yourselves in Psalms. What are the Psalms? That's your Bible song book. Speaking to yourselves in Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the music that I enjoy is not about what I prefer or what I like. It's really about what God likes, and it's supposed to have Bible truth in it and all those things, and they help us to think the right way. The Bible says in verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so maybe in your home, in our home, we've tried to make it a practice to give thanks for meals. When we eat meals, it's showing gratitude. And it's interesting, God has given you everything that you have, and the only thing that you can give back to God that He didn't give you first, you know what it is? Gratitude. And so we ought to give thanks always for everything and just have an attitude of thanksgiving. You say, "Well, I don't have a lot to be thankful for." It could be worse. It could be worse. And so the Bible says in verse number 21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And I wrote a little word out beside that, and that word's deference. You know what that means? That you defer. You defer to the other individual. It's not necessarily, it's not about me. It's about deference. And then this begins really the spiritual roadmap to having a healthy and happy and successful and a spiritual home. And so the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And in verse 22, it gets very specific. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And so right here, you would see the first step to a happy, successful home, the first waypoint. I'll outline it this way. Sweet ladies. Sweet ladies. Have you ever heard this? Happy wife, happy life. You've heard that before. And that's true in a sense. Really, I think you could take it a step further. A happy spouse, happy house. But really, when mama's not happy, nobody's happy. And that's really true in some ways. And it's a great step to have a healthy, happy, wholesome home when ladies are sweet. And the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And so the wife is supposed to submit herself and sweetly submit herself under the authority of her husband as if her husband was who? Wow, that's a tall order, isn't it? I know who my wife is married to. That's a tall order. And so, but that's what the Bible says. And there's just a theme through this passage. And it's interesting. The Proverbs tells us twice. Once in 21 in chapter 19, the Bible says here, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And I was talking to my kids the other day, and my daughter, she said, Dad, what does contentious mean? I said, don't be contentious. She says, what does contentious mean? I said, that's ready to start conflict all the time. And sometimes it can be that way. It could seem like the spouses are all just ready to have some kind of conflict, whether it's verbal or emotional or something, all the time. And you know what? The Bible says it's better to dwell in the wilderness. Maybe that's why so many men spend so many hours in the woods when it's cold and there's nothing walking around with a shotgun or a rifle in their hand, because there's a contentious woman at home that he's trying to get away from. Wow. And so, anyway, the Bible says, man, I may be stepping on some toes, I'm sorry. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Proverbs 27 and verse 15 says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Just not very welcome. And so point number one is really this. It's sweet ladies. Sweet ladies in the home can help set the tone for the children. And my precious wife, she does a wonderful job at that. But let's move away from the ladies, because the primary person that Ephesians chapter 5 deals with is not the wives, but who? It's the men. And I've learned this the hard way, that if there's a problem in my home and it's between my wife and my children, and I'm looking at you folks, I'm sure you probably have perfect marriages and perfect homes and don't ever struggle. But you know what? Every once in a while, something will come up. We call it intense fellowship. And so it comes up in the home, and really, you know what it comes back to when I think about it and I humble myself, it's usually a failure, not on her part, but it's a failure in my leadership. And so the first step to a healthy, happy, wholesome home is sweet ladies. But number two, I'll call it this, servant leadership. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 23. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Does that mean he's smarter? It says no. Does that mean he's a better leader maybe than his wife? No. Does it mean that he gets along better with everybody than his wife? No. It's God's established authority in the home. And the Bible says the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the whole body. Now, you think about the leadership, and there's never been a leader on planet Earth better than God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he never said anything that was out of place. He always dealt with every situation in the perfect manner. He was God in the flesh. He controlled the wind and the waves and the storms. He made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And in John chapter number 13, you know what you find him doing? He girds himself and he bows down at the feet of his disciples, and he begins to wash their feet, and he serves. And I tell you, the type of leadership that the Bible insists that men have, whether you're in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, it's servant leadership. You say, wow, what is a servant leadership? What does servant leadership do? Servant leadership does whatever has to be done. Somebody once said this, you see the need, you take the lead. And so, you know how I'm supposed to lead around my home? I see a need, take the lead. If it's dishes, if it's laundry, you might scratch your head and say, that's not in my realm. If it's in your home, it's in your realm. And it's the second step to having a wholesome, healthy family is men, servant, lead. And lead as Christ led his disciples and as Christ leads his church. You young men, you better get that down. I had a pastor, a good friend of mine. He's a lot older than me in the ministry, and we were talking on the phone a couple years ago. I respect him greatly, and he called me up and he said, "Brother Thomas," he goes, "how's the ministry going?" I said, "You know what?" I said, "The preaching sometimes is the easiest part of the ministry. You know, sometimes it's just doing all of the other peripheral things that need to be done, whether it's hooking up a trailer or helping homeschool the kids or doing this or doing that. For us, it's one thing. For you folks, it might be something else." But I said, "It's really, really, really difficult." And you know what he said? He said, "Servant work is difficult." He says, "But as long as you're willing to do it, you'll always have a ministry." And you know what? That's what servant leadership is. See the need, take the lead. And so husbands, you see a need around the house, don't wait for somebody else to take care of it. You know what you do? You take care of it. Or you say, "Honey, how can I help you take care of this? Can we do this or can we do this?" You know what I'm learning? I'm learning that as my kids get a little bit older, then I shouldn't be having to do everything for them. You know why? Because it's my job to teach them how to work. And I was folding clothes the other day at the laundromat. I said, "Why am I folding these clothes?" I said, "I ought to take these clothes home and dump them out on the bed and tell all the kids, hey, your clothes are up on the bed, and you go up and fold them and put them in your doors and in your drawers, wherever they go." And then I thought, well, they're in school. They'll never get it done. So I did it. But we ought to be able and willing to teach our children to help carry and shoulder some of the load around the house. And you kids ought to be willing to do it. And so there's servant leadership, there's sweet ladies, there's servant leadership. The Bible says in verse number 24, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Think about this, men. Think about this. If we would see the need and take the lead and lead like we ought to lead, do you think that would make it a little bit easier for our wives to submit to our leadership? Absolutely. But some of us, we make it harder than what it needs to be. And so there's servant leadership. The Bible says in verse number 25, again, it says, "Husbands, what? Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Okay, sweet ladies, number one. Servant leadership, number two. Sacrificial love, number three. You say, "Well, I don't really feel like I love my spouse the way I used to love my spouse." And you know what I found and I've learned? That's not an emotion that you should rely on. That's a choice that you ought to make. And to be honest with you, none of us are very lovable. But John 3:16 tells us, "For God so what? Loved." Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know what kind of love that is? It's sacrificial love. It's doing whatever you have to do. And that's not telling the wife to sacrificially love her husband. The wife is to submit and reverence her husband, but it's the husband's job, whether how she responds or not, it's our job to sacrificially love our wives. Now, it begins to give a little more detail. The Bible says in verse number 26, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." And so there's a picture of Christ sanctifying, setting aside and cleansing his church and sanctifying it by the word of God. But here's how I make the application. If I'm sacrificially loving my wife, the result is a purifying love. Men, do you give your wives the opportunity to spend time in the Bible? Do you give them opportunity to spend time in prayer? Do you give them an opportunity to go to ladies' meetings and be encouraged by other ladies? Do you give her an opportunity to strengthen her self spiritually? Do you lead her in that way in prayer? And I'm not saying I'm there. These are things I'm learning. Not that I've learned and nobody's arrived, but you know what? Sacrificial love is a purifying love. And it helps you to help your wife be as spiritual as she could possibly be. That's not just her responsibility. That's your responsibility to help her get there. The Bible says in verse number 27, "that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Verse 28, "so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So sacrificial love, it's number one, it's purifying, but number two, it's protecting. And the Bible says, if I love my wife, I love myself. How many of you ever get hungry? Yeah, you know, when I get hungry and I'm going down the highway and I get hungry, you know, I look at my wife, I look at Sarah, and I think, man, she might be getting hungry too, you know. Maybe I'm thirsty, maybe I'm tired. If I'm tired, guess what? She's taking care of all of us. She's probably tired too, you know. And when a husband loves his wife in a sacrificial way, it's purifying, but it protects. And we ought to do whatever we can to protect our wives emotionally and physically and spiritually. And it's just laid out right here. It's the guidelines. It's the roadmap for a healthy, happy home. This is where men ought to be taking leadership in their home. The Bible says in verse number 29, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, providing and protecting." Verse 30, the Bible says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Verse 31, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And then he says, this is why marriage, biblical marriage, is so important. It's vital. It's right here. Paul writes and he says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." You know what my marriage is? A picture of my marriage to my wife, Sarah, who just turned 29 years old. You know what it's a picture of? It's a picture of a relationship. It's a picture of a relationship between Christ and his church. A group of people that really are not really that lovable and unworthy. You could say that. He died for us, a sacrificial, purifying, providing, and protecting love. And that's why the biblical view of marriage is so important, because it is a picture of Christ and his church. It is an eternal relationship. And if you study history, you study the history of the nation of Israel, especially through the time period of the judges and then later on in the kings, when they got their eyes off of God and they got their eyes on the intoxicating prosperity around them. You know what failed first? Marriage. Instead of having a high view of a marriage between a husband and a wife, they began to take a low view of that. A low view of that relationship, a low view of the responsibility of parenting children. And you know what was not long after that? The downfall of their society. And my marriage is a simple picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. And when that begins to be downplayed or downgraded or just put off to the side, it's not that big of a deal. If we make fun of it, make jokes about it, guess what? The curse of disaster on society is not long to follow. And so Paul finishes, he says in verse 33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." There's a book out there. I haven't read the whole book. I've read some of it. It's a good book. The premise is good, and it comes from this verse right here. The title of the book is called Love and Respect. You ever heard that book before? You can Google that. It's a really good book. And it's really a marriage book on how to have a healthy and happy and wholesome home. And it really falls down on these two principles right here. Husbands, love your wives. And wives, reverence and respect your husband. And if I feel like I'm getting the respect that I need, and you know, I've learned this just by being married, and we've been married just for 14 years, and it's been a tremendous learning experience. But everything that I desire in life, whether it's adventure or a physical touch or anything that I desire in this life, can be found within the confines of my marriage. It's wonderful. All, everything that I would like to have fulfilled in my life can be found within my marriage. But sometimes when we start looking beyond those things, that's when we get ourselves into trouble. And the Bible says there, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence and respect her husband. And we know what we're to do to our wives, which is love our wives, love them sacrificially. You say, is it that easy? It's pretty much that easy. But you know what? We get distracted. And as humans, sometimes we make things a lot more difficult than what they have to be. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. These are the foundational elements. They are the waypoints. It's on the roadmap to have a happy, healthy home. Now, you say, well, I'm here, and I'm just a kid, and I'm not married. Well, I got a verse for you, too. Look at chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. Do you see the theme here? All right, we started with be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but be filled or controlled continuously with the Spirit. And that has to do with right thinking, a right attitude. And then it has to do with what? Submission. Submitting yourselves one to another. That's deference. And then wives submitting yourselves to your husband. Really, the husband submitting himself to who? The Lord. And then the children, guess who you submit to? Your parents. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. Why? For it's the right thing to do. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So how are you going to do that? You know, how are you going to have a sweet, healthy, happy home? Could you get there by accident? You could, but it's the exception and not the rule. And it might take you a lot longer to get there than if you just find what the Bible says in Ephesians. Just say, okay, that's what we're going to do. Wives, submit. Husbands, submit to the Lord. Children, obey your parents. It's the authority structure that God set up. And can I tell you, if it's in the Bible and God says to do it, it works when we apply it. When we get ready to head back to Memphis on Saturday, I always hate going back the way I came. And so I'll find another way back, and I'll pull it up on my Google Maps, and maybe we'll go through St. Louis this time. I don't know. Maybe we'll go down through that way and come down through Missouri and Arkansas, and we'll cross the Mississippi River right there in Memphis. But I'm going to get out my Google Maps, and I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to plan it out before I get in the truck and hook up the trailer and pull it all down the road, because I want to get everybody there in one piece. I want to get there happy and healthy and whole. And you know what? It's not going to be by accident. You don't have a godly home by accident. You have a godly home on purpose. It's on purpose. And I tell you what America needs today. It's not patriots waving the flag. I love that. I'm a patriot. But what America needs today is to see a godly example of a husband that really loves his wife. Sacrificial love. A purifying love. It's a protecting love. It's a providing home. By the way, a house doesn't make a home. You can have a home anywhere. And there's a lot of people that have successful businesses, but they have very unsuccessful marriages. And you know what the world needs? The world needs to see that example. Hey, a godly husband, a godly wife, submitting to the authority of God, raising their children, teaching them not to be independent, but to submit. And you know what happens with that? Hey, you have God's blessing upon that. And it doesn't matter if you're serving in a godless government in 2021 or in 2051 or whatever, you can have a godly home. You just have to follow the roadmap. Would you bow your heads with me, please? We'll pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Help me as a man to lead my family in the right way. And Lord, nobody's perfect and nobody's arrived at this, but I pray that you would help us to do our diligence to love our wives sacrificially. And I think it'll make a difference when our children see that. And I pray that wives would just submit and respect their husbands. Nobody's perfect, but this is the way. This is the authority structure that's been set up. And I pray that wives wouldn't be contentious, but would be submissive and reverence their husbands. And I pray that this would be a pattern. I pray that we would put this a priority above retirement or a successful career or any of those things, because none of those things matter if we don't have our families. And God, I pray that you'd help children, help the children that we're raising to submit to the authority of parents. They don't have to understand why. All they have to do is obey. And I pray that your blessings would be upon our homes. I pray that you'd give us wisdom. Everybody here is navigating through some decision or something on the peripheral that's coming, Lord, that we don't even know about. And I just pray that you'd give us wisdom just to maintain these priorities in our home. And I pray that, Lord, you would receive the glory. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.